Everyone struggles with anger. I mean, that's a true statement. Now, we do it in different ways. Some people blow up. Some people repress it. Some people let it leak out. But it always does incredible damage. What about you? How do you deal with your anger? Want to find out? Stay with me.
Welcome to this weekend edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher on this international discipleship ministry. I'm Dave Drewing. And in this program, Chip continues our current series, Overcoming Emotions That Destroy. Now, he's in the process of identifying the different ways anger reveals itself in our lives. Now, if you have a Bible, open it now to James chapter 1, and let's join Chip now for part 2 of his message, Rage, Understanding the Monster Within.
I'm going to suggest that anger wears many masks. And that there's three primary masks that we put on. And I want to walk through what these masks are. And I'm going to be educational word is pedantic. I mean, I'm literally going to go through some lists where you see some things and nod. And then I'm going to ask a few diagnostic questions where, you know, we're going to say, okay, how do I tend to express my anger? And when we get done, I'm just going to guess that everyone will go, oh, so if that's the issue, then I guess I do have a little issue with angry feelings. In fact, what I want you to think about is what you do with your anger. Everyone has it. There's slow people in front of you, right? There's people that frustrate you. There are blocked goals. There's people that say things about you. You get wounded. You have expectations. You're human. Note, we express our anger in such a wide variety of ways that many people assume anger is not an issue in their life. For those that make sure the fill-ins get filled in right or they get angry, the first word is express, and the second word is anger. We all express it in such a wide variety of ways, we often think we don't have an anger problem. Let's talk about the many masks. Proverbs 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all else and beyond cure. Who can understand it? It goes on to say that the Lord searches the heart, examines the mind to reward each man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And what I want to do right now is I'm going to walk you through a little journey, all right? There may be more, but you can take anger into three major mask or categories. I'm going to suggest that there are spewers, there are stuffers, and there are leakers. Should we go over that again? There are spewers with their anger, there are stuffers, and then there are leakers. And I want to go over first spewers, and there's a very clear inventory. You can see on your notes. So we'll go through this pretty rapidly, and then I have some questions. And maybe you shouldn't count on your fingers, but I'll have some questions that you can mentally go, yeah, for me, yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's the goal. None of these make you bad, okay? Don't get, oh, I'm a spewer, I'm a leaker, I wish I wasn't a leaker, I wish I could be a stuffer, then I could be depressed, but people wouldn't know. You know, this is not about one of the masks. These are human responses. Now, some of them have different damage. So let's follow along. Here's a summary of all the research about people who spew their anger. There's two types of spewers. Exploding time bombs, they're out of control, and calculated time bombs. There's some people, they spew it, they know when they're going to do it, why they're going to do it, and how they're going to do it. The message they have is that anger is necessary. Their reaction is, you bet I'm mad. Do what I say or else. This is a power issue. The reasons for spewers expressing their anger, it gives them a false sense of power or control. It helps them release pent-up negative emotions, and they feel unable to constrain or control their anger. They have poor impulse control. This is how they blow up, yell, scream, shout, push, shove, hit, kick, intimidate, aggression, become overly opinionated, overly blunt, forceful, tactless, or demanding and repetitive. When people get real mad, spewers tend to repeat. The results, listen to the results. This is what happens to spewers. This is why we're going to study this. They wound themselves and others. There's a loss of control or power. There's a false sense of power. There's great feelings of guilt. Spewers often feel amazing remorse. They're so sorry, and it's genuine. They have strained then and unhealthy relationships. Possible retaliation or revenge. When you spew on people, there's times where you got to be careful. Guess what? They're going to come back at you. There's possible damage, even violent behavior, and often spewers have tremendous regrets. What a spewer needs, this is what they need. They need to develop a longer fuse. They need to learn to control their anger. Unconsciously, spewers give themselves permission. They say things like, I can't help it. I'm Irish. I have red hair. It's just the way I am. They did, and they will use phrases like, you made me angry. No one ever makes you angry. Your emotions are yours that you control, and you choose to respond and not respond. Stuffers, there's two types. Those who repress, they deny and avoid, and those who suppress, they pretend and stuff. The message they believe is that anger is bad. Their reaction to, are you angry, is, angry? Not me. My wife is a classic stuffer. Anger was not allowed in her home. Varying opinions were not allowed in her home. She had a very sweet mother and a father who traveled, who was an alcoholic. He didn't know what he didn't know. And he ruled with an iron fist and lots of rules, and you didn't buck him, and you never talked back. Talking back was like opening your mouth. But so she had a belief system, all anger is wrong. The reason I learned so much about anger was I had a dad who was a spewer. She had a dad where anger is wrong. We love one another. We're in seminary. And Frank Minnerith's friend, Paul Meyer, the Minnerith Meyer Clinic, was teaching us how to do pastoral counseling. And here I'm learning how to do pastoral counseling. And I'm learning how we're supposed to help these other people. And he gets into some of these kind of things. And I realize my wife goes silent. She withdraws. She cries quietly and doesn't talk to me for 2 days. And then pretends everything's okay. This is not a healthy response to anger. I don't feel close to her when she does that. And she doesn't feel close to me because I'm a verbalizer. And since we don't have it resolved, and I have Ephesians 4:26 memorized, she's in bed up till 1, and I'm walking around the bed. We have to deal with this tonight. Be angry, but do not sin. Would you please wake up? And she would shut down, and then we'd pretend for 2 days nothing really happened. We'd bury the anger, move on. You do understand that anger puts a roadblock in intimacy. Emotional intimacy, intellectual intimacy, and physical intimacy. So I realized that we didn't know how to deal with anger, and we didn't know how to communicate, and so was making $1,000 a month and supporting my family as I went to seminary. And at about $90 a pop for 12 weeks, we went to Paul Meyer's brother for counseling and marriage. And he gave us tools to learn how to communicate and how to express our anger. And I'm not even going to charge you. I'm going to give you some of those tools. And it is an amazing thing to be able to communicate. I feel hurt. I feel angry. And be able to get things on the table and not attack the other person and not be threatened. Some of you will come away and realize that was worth the entire time together. Stuffers, how do they stuff it? By ignoring it, denying it, shielding or defecting it, minimizing it, pretending they're not really angry, by avoiding it, by burying it. By the way, when you bury it, Paul Meyer says 95% of all depression is anger turned inward. Think of that. People that are very, very, very depressed. Now, there's clinical reasons and physiological reasons, but a lot of depression is people don't even know they're angry. They push it down. And it physiologically, we'll see in a minute, it can cause ulcers, headaches, all kind of difficult things in your body. But emotionally, it causes depression. Results, they become doormats. They're taken advantage of. They redirect their anger at themselves. I remember one of the biggest things I've done in my wife after those years is I would say, honey, I think you're angry. And she'd look at me like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Honey, you got to be angry. That lady just talked to you like that. Well, she's probably having a bad day. But wow, we had to discover how she dealt with anger before she got the truth that set her free. The results are they develop physical ailments that I talked about. They occasionally erupt. By the way, it's kind of weird. These kind of people, they never share it. And then finally, they develop resentment. What stuffers need is to accept that anger is okay and normal, to acknowledge their fears and seek to minimize their hold on others, learn to communicate anger effectively, become more assertive with their needs, that it's okay to have real needs and real wants, and to become clear about what they will and will not do. So are you a stuffer? Could you be a stuffer? I have another 10 questions, and you can, you know, just put them on your fingers. Question number one, I'm very image conscious. I don't like to let others know my problems. Yes or no? Even when I feel frustrated, I portray myself publicly as having it all together. 3, I'm rather reserved about sharing my problems or my frustrations. 4, if a family member or friend upsets me, I can let days pass without even mentioning it. 5, I have a tendency to be depressed and moody. Just a tendency, doesn't mean you're all the time. 6, resentful thinking is common for me, although many people would never suspect it. 7, I've suffered with physical complaints, for example, headaches, stomach ailments, and sleep irregularity. 8, there are times when I wonder if my opinions or preferences are really valid. 9, sometimes I feel paralyzed when confronted by an unwanted situation. And 10, I feel guilty a lot about little things, especially if someone is upset with me. Those of you that said click, 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 5 or more, you're probably a stuffer. Now, some of you are feeling real bad because you're thinking, you know, I had like 4 or 5 on the last one. I got 5 on this one. I mean, yes, you can wear more than one mask. You probably have a primary one. But you can wear more than one. So are you a stuffer? Yes, no, or maybe. Finally, let's look at our leakers. The technical word for this is passive aggressive. And a leaker is a person who is angry, but what they do is they have, as you'll look, they have all the same fears as stuffers. They have the same belief system as stuffers, but they just stuffing it all the time is like, I just can't go there. And so, but they're not going to do it directly. So what they do is, I'm angry about this situation, this person, this hurt, this injustice, this pain, this wound. I'm not going to deal with it over here. I take that anger, I put it under my arm like a football, and now I go over to here to a safe playing field. And then I take the anger and I leak it to get back at the person to punish them for what they did. Sarcasm, negativity, procrastination, frigidity, critical remarks, knowing they like you to be prompt, you're late. Knowing they love you to follow through, I forgot. I'm so sorry. Okay? That's what leakers do. I'm an expert on this one. Types are indirect and direct leakers. Here's their message. It's showing anger is bad. The reaction, angry, not me. Well, maybe just a little. Why are they afraid of anger? They think it's bad or even sinful to be angry. They fear God's wrath. They fear loss of control. Losing it might make them look foolish. They fear rejection. Others won't like them if they get angry. They fear retaliation, punishment, or consequences or outcomes. Now, did you notice that most all of those were the exact same reasons as people that stuff their anger? But then how do they leak it? By not following through on commitments or promises, by not letting their yes be yes or their no be no. These people, you know, when you're really a leaker, oh, I'll do this, well, I wish I could, I can't. We are flaky at times. And it makes people crazy. By making excuses, by procrastinating, by knowingly going at a pace different than others are annoying. Have you ever had people really get up on your bumper? You know, beep, beep, you know, there's like 15 million cars ahead of you. And this guy's, you know, switching and almost killing people so he can make it like 30 more feet, right? And so he's like, you look in your rearview mirror and all you see is his grill. Now, some of you in your younger days, or if you know karate, want to pull off and say, right now, dude, right now, let's take it down. Let's take it down. Others of you want to express yourself to them, and still others go, if you think you're close to my bumper now going 65, oh my, I'm only going 58 now. And there's a big semi on the right. And you know something? I'm getting kind of tired. I think I'm going to pull it down to 43, you know? You know? And then no eye contact. You just look ahead, you know? Right? You're one angry person. You wonder where I got that illustration. I have no idea. The results, they develop a false or unhealthy sense of power. I mean, even your, all your laughter was like, you know why you were laughing? It was a power deal, right? We got that guy. That smart aleck in front of me, or back of me. They aggravate those around them, and they strain weakened relationships. They become critical and negative. They become isolated. You might write the word, leakers are very, very sarcastic. They're often late. They withdraw. They often are frigid sexually to pay back their mate. They forget, and they avoid issues. What a leaker needs is to accept that anger is okay and normal, to acknowledge fears and seek to minimize the influence of those fears on their life. They need to learn to communicate their anger effectively. They need to become more assertive. A lot of times they don't really say, we don't say what we really mean. We think people can read our minds, but then they don't come through for us because they're not reading our minds. And so we get angry at them because they don't read our minds, even though we didn't tell them. And then we do stuff to punish them. And, you know, it doesn't work. And they need to be clear about what they will do and won't do. Okay, are you ready for the big 10 questions? Here's the questions. Add them up. Yes or no, real quick. When I'm frustrated, I become silent, knowing it bothers other people. 2, I'm prone to sulk and pout. I'm going to go out to the garage, work on my tools. 3, when I don't want to do a project, I will procrastinate. I can be lazy. 4, when someone asks me if I'm frustrated, I will lie and say, no, everything's fine. 5, there are times when I am deliberately evasive so others won't bother me. 6, I sometimes approach work projects half-heartedly. 7, when someone talks to me about my problems, I stare straight ahead, being deliberately obstinate. 8, I'm often sarcastic and hide my real hurts behind jokes. 9, I withdraw affection and become frigid when hurt. 10, I forget to do things for people when they've wounded me. Got them? Are you a leaker? Yes, no, or maybe? Ask yourself, and I encourage you to get a pen before you share it with others if you can, what makes you angry? Just the top 3. What are 2 or 3 things that really make you angry? 2, when and where is it okay to feel angry? I mean, if you could just identify, some of you think it's so wrong, when would it be okay? Some of you so lit up when I talked about Jesus was angry, Moses was angry, David was angry, Chip was angry at the laundromat. Some of you, your faces just said, wow, maybe I could get a little mad and be okay. Where do you think it'd be okay to get mad? And then, in what ways do you tend to misuse anger? Why do you hang on to it? And then which anger mask do you wear most often? Spewer, stuffer, or leaker? Then the final question, and this will be the journey, just up to now, if you had to turn to someone and say, the one insight that I received so far about anger and emotions that I think will be helpful to me, I think it's, what would you write down? Okay? We're going to go on a journey together and get some practical help for those angry feelings that destroy relationships. God gave you this divine gift, a neutral emotion called anger, that can be for good or for evil. Let's figure out how we deal with our anger and then how we can, by God's grace, begin to channel it in ways for His glory and our good. Thank you.
Chip will be right back. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today, Rage, Understanding the Monster Within, is from his series, Overcoming Emotions That Destroy. Whether you're looking for a small group study, a book, CDs, or free MP3s and message notes, you'll find all the details on this series at livingontheedge.org or on the Chip Ingram app, Overcoming Emotions That Destroy. Check it out today. Well, Chip, with everything that's going on, you know, a lot of people are wondering, how's the ministry being affected these days? Or what limitations have you had during this season at Living on the Edge?
Dave, thankfully, I have an office and a video and audio studio that I can keep doing work, and I don't think I've ever been busier in my life, and it's happened in ways that we never dreamed. One, we've been able to do things very specifically to help people one-on-one through something called the Daily Discipleship with Chip, where I've literally got to one-on-one coaching with people of how to meet with God and how to mentor people and literally how to experience who you are in Christ. So that's been a lot of energy, and the impact has literally been probably greater than any single thing we've done as we read the emails and talk to people. And then to our delight, we have seen our friends in China take the resources that I'm not at liberty to tell a lot about, but true spirituality, how to become a Romans 12 Christian, in numbers that would just absolutely shock you in the midst of all of this, doing training in 18 different cities. And so we are so grateful for those who have given faithfully through this time that have allowed us to do what we're doing. And now the demands are even greater. So if you have never given to Living on the Edge, now is a really great time. And if you have, thank you so much. You have allowed us to do some things globally and nationally that we never dreamed could happen. Thank you very much.
It's been humbling to see how people have continued to support Living on the Edge, even during these unprecedented days of hardship. The need for biblical wisdom and direction has risen, and God's people continue to help us meet those needs. So let me include my thanks to our partners as well. If you'd like to join the team, today would be a great day to do it. To send a gift or to set up a recurring donation, just go to livingontheedge.org, tap Donate on the app, or give us a call at 888-333-6003. And let me thank you in advance for whatever the Lord leads you to do.
As we close today's program, I want to bring you back to the very first thing you heard when I began the teaching. Anger wears many faces. Some of us spew, some of us stuff, and some of us leak. And some of us, like me, are multi-talented. I actually can do two or three of these things. But we tend to have a major style and sort of a minor style. And by the way, the stuffers aren't the terrible bad people in the world. And us leakers that do it a little bit more sophisticated, we're just not quite so ungodly. The truth of the matter is, it's kind of like having different color eyes. You all see, but the colors are just different. There's not a right or wrong. These are things that most of us have learned through our families and by virtue of our personalities. God is going to help you use anger for good. But until you identify your normal way that you respond, you'll never learn how to turn it from an evil thing to a good thing in your life. So go to the website, look at the notes, download them. There's the questions that I gave today, and come to grips with, how do you deal with your anger? Which mask do you wear? And I will tell you what, some exciting things are going to happen for you.
Using the message notes Chip just mentioned is one of the best ways to get the most out of this series. Chip's message notes contain his outline, scripture verses, and much more. Best of all, Chip's message notes are absolutely free. Just go to livingontheedge.org and click the Broadcasts tab for this free download. App listeners, tap Fill in Notes, and you're set. Whether you use the notes for your own personal study or for your small group, new levels of understanding are just a click or tap away. Well, be sure to join us again next week as Chip continues his current series. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Living on the Edge.